You're listening to episode 68 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, the only CES review that matters. So, something happened this week, and I guess without much further ado, it's time to just sort of jump into it. This week was the Consumer Electronics Show 2013. I'll give a full disclosure of the fact that...
Oh my gosh, Stein! I can't believe I'm doing this instead. Go ahead. It's okay, I don't know the television, so it really doesn't matter.
Right, yeah, exactly. So,
I'm going to turn that off.
Yeah, for now. I'll give a full disclosure of the fact that although I was very cognizant of the fact that the Consumer Electronics Show was happening in the beginning of the year, because it always does, and I pay attention, it wasn't until like Tuesday that I realized, holy cow, it's CES this week. I'd missed it by a week or two. So I was like, I kind of turned into like a goofy little kid again, and I've had a little bit of a crazy week, but it's... But I did my best to catch everything that was going on, and there is some cool technology, and hopefully we can bring to you some of the cooler side stuff along with the bigger, you know, the headlining stuff.
Okay. And so put it on me, man. What are some cool things you saw?
All right. So I think we start with the 4K TVs at CES. I feel like that was... Okay, yeah, I was going to say. I didn't mean to steal it from you. Do you want to talk about it?
Do it. No.
Okay.
Do it.
So the 4K TVs, these are like... this is an interesting tech stuff because it's really the sort of thing that like catches consumers' attentions because every time you walk into Costco or Target or you know, Walmart or whatever, Best Buy, you walk in, you see the big TV screens, all the super high-definition stuff. And what's ironic about this stuff is nobody is going to buy one of these TVs for, like, 3 or 4 years because they're super expensive right now. But the 4K TVs are basically super high-resolution, super high-definition television sets. And
ultra-high-definition.
Ultra-high-definition. And what's
what they call it? UHD.
Yeah. What's the I can't remember. It's the actual pixels per inch, PPI.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's it's four times. Well, so H like 1080p. From what I understand,
right.
Is like 2K.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So it's four times the pixel density. Right. Because it's Geez.
Yeah.
Wow. So they basically what they did with the iPhone, where they took the pixel density of the iPhone 4 or iPhone 3S, and when the iPhone 4S came out with the Retina display, they basically just quadrupled the number of pixels. For every one pixel, there were now four, and it gives the screen unbelievable contrast and just ultra crisp pictures and all sorts of crazy stuff. And of course, you know, like this is the classic, you know, there's this really cool new device and there's absolutely no content. There's no TV stations that stream at 4K resolution. There's no Blu-ray players that play at 4K resolution.
Here's what I think I've come to understand. Is that movies, which is this obvious what it's, you know, geared towards, primarily shoot in either 4K or they'll do it, you know, in 35 millimeter, which could be converted, which is higher than 4K, right? Because it's
3K.
Right. Just wait. You heard that on Furlough Bros first.
3K?
Real K.
Real K.
Yeah, that's coming. So what they're saying is that you can once they get these devices into homes, you know, the chicken and the egg deal, right? Then those movie producers will then say, okay, cool, let's not downgrade these to 1080p. Let's come out with an ultra 4K pack. You know, we'll totally get rid of the DVD, and then we'll combine an ultra 4K with a Blu-ray. Or they'll put it on a Blu-ray. From what I understand, like the size of the videos are actually like greater than what's on a standard Blu-ray disc.
Yeah.
But I know that you can add a bunch of layers to Blu-ray discs in order to make it work. So anyway. Hey, that's a podcast.
Say. But we can actually explain that for a second.
Yeah. So I guess, and I'm a newbie to this because I don't own one. So it's just what I've learned. And so a Blu-ray, you can add different layers to a disc. And current Blu-rays are one or two layers. Yes. I forget how much my memory is in like a layer. It's like 56 megabyte or gigabytes, something like that. I mean, it's big, which is enough to fit a Blu-ray, but these 4Ks, because they're so much bigger, they're like a minimum of 60 gigabytes per movie.
Right.
So they're like, so you're already, which I think, if I remember correctly, that's the two-layer. And that's currently what's shipped. Blu-rays have the capability to go all the way up to 8-layer discs. So they could fit them in. They just don't. They're not currently being made because there's no reason to, because 4K movies don't exist. So all that to say is content, at least movies, is currently being made in this super high resolution format. There we go.
Right.
And then they're downgrading them down to the 1080p, 720, and whatever. What we actually see on Netflix. So
right. Yeah, exactly.
The best part of all of this. And then so the idea would be you get them into homes and they can you could still watch a Blu-ray disc on these televisions, and what the televisions do is they use magic math, right, to get it so that they will then take the 1080 and blow it up to the 4K. And somebody talked about how they got some sort of magic algorithm where if you buy a Sony Blu-ray player and a Sony 4K television, somehow they made them it looks better than a standard up-res.
Right.
From what I also understand, there's some concerns with like indoor or low light shots because it could become pretty pixelated pretty fast. But yeah, so the idea is they'll just start moving these into homes, and then when the time is right, they can flip the switch to the higher res stuff. Which is very similar to what they did with 3D, right? I mean, there was another article on The Verge where they were like, 3D's dead and no one cares. And this idea of, every single TV now has, it would appear, every single high-end television has some sort of 3D feature to it. And a lot of people are buying these televisions with 3D built in. But like you said, because there's no content, they don't even know, they don't even care.
Right.
They could watch YouTube, some of those YouTube videos in 3D, or some of the Netflix stuff in 3D. But they got this in their home, which, is kind of cool in the sense that if and when real 3D content takes off, just like this 4K, hey, you're already forward compatible.
So this is actually why I wanted to bring this up, because I think that what the long-term plan on this is that the idea that I think currently, and this is just my gut sense, I don't actually have any insider knowledge on the direction that they want to go with 3D viewing, is the biggest problem with 3D is the glasses. And people are obviously willing to put up with it in the theater, but for whatever reason, they're not willing to put up with it in the home.
Well, I know my reason. You can't look around. You can't get up and go eat something without taking it off. And you got to worry about the angle of it. You can't sit on the side, otherwise it looks weird.
Exactly. And because of how the technology works in a theater, it the setup of a theater where there's a bunch of rows and you're all sort of like sitting there, you don't lay out on a couch, there's because it just the nature of how
a couch while watching TV.
What?
Aren't you just like always riveted on the edge of your seat, what's gonna happen next?
No, man. I no. I don't really watch TV though, so it's unfair for me. I almost only ever watch TV when I'm like falling asleep. So I never. But
yeah, but you watch movies, right? I mean, that's not.
Yeah,
when or I'm, is that what you, is that included?
When, yeah, it's included. I mean, I guess I watch. Oh. I never watch movies at home unless I'm falling asleep.
You have a very lean entertainment diet.
Yeah, a little bit. and so, but what I was gonna say is, I don't. So the point is in this is that I think the real 3D revolution is going to be when you have glasses-free 3D. And I personally find a lot of value in 3D. I think it actually improves the experience a lot. I don't find as much value in high definition. I mean, it's nice, it's cool, it looks good, and once you get used to it, like, you're like, oh, I can't, you know, whatever. And I think 4K in and of itself, it has its own place. But the reason why, one of the big reasons why you want to keep pushing the resolution far beyond the discernible difference, where you can't even really tell anymore that, like, oh, cool, you added an extra pixel, great. You know, but the real reason for it is because at the same time, they're working in parallel with these flexible screens that literally can change shape electronically. Right. And what they can do is they can direct the light of each individual pixel. And so what they can do is they can break down all of the pixels onto the screen, and they can have half of them point at one eye and half of them point at another eye. And they can project two different images, one at each eye. Now, this is stuff that they're actually working on in labs. It still has a long way to go. But once they
So you think that they're going to do a 4K television but show essentially a 2K image twice?
I think what the goal is to do a 1080 picture and have all of the pixels go to one eye on one set, go to another eye on another set, and then the person next to you, they get one set, and another person gets another set, and then there's just going to be a... So you can do multiple people each.
I don't understand how that could work. Without glasses, I don't know how that would work, but...
Well, it's because you're actually... It's more like pointing lasers at your eyeballs, so you get the entire picture.
Can television do that?
Well, yeah, they're working on this.
Okay, they're working on it. All right,
they're working on it. You can't do it yet, but the reason why you have to get such high resolution, I personally think, is because if you're going to do independent head tracking, where you're actually projecting particular images to people's eyes,
that sounds so hard.
It's not easy, but it's one of those things where if you can get to the point where you can do that, And all the individual pieces of the technology are there. You can do head tracking. You can do line of sight with eyes. You can do the flexible screens that are changing with each pass of the shot, so that each shot is changing. So you can aim the image at people's eyes. All those different pieces are there. They just need to all get to the point where you can put them together into a package that can perform for two people, four people, 30 people. And that's the direction that we go. That's the big reason why you keep that persistent march of upgrading the number of pixels, because the more pixels you have, the more things you can do with each individual pixel. This is all a long ways off, you know, 5-10 years, but I definitely
love that that's defined as a long ways off.
I know, it's hilarious.
That's
awesome.
This isn't
car technology, guys. This is TV technology. So I don't know, they say it looks incredible. They say you kind of get that weird like up resolution stuff where they go from 1080 to 4K. It doesn't look perfect, but they claim that it kind of gives you that. It's the same thing when you get like normal definition TV that's been up to 1080. It just kind of looks off, but it's like it looks hyper real. It's almost plasticky because they don't get all the little details. Or enough of them. They say that you kind of get the same thing with the 4K, but when you get natively 4K video, it looks pretty incredible. Is what I've said, what I'm told. You can't really tell, because if you just look at a picture on your 1080p screen of a 4K TV a couple feet back, it doesn't quite give the same, you know, experience. So
that makes sense.
I don't know. I look forward to seeing them in the, you know, in Best Buy or whatever, and being able to try them out.
Yeah, but you know that they're gonna just throw in a standard Blu-ray disc. They're not actually.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
they will.
Some of the stores will do it right. Some of them will not.
The real question that I have, and I actually just thought about this.
But I guess I would want to see a realistic, because I'm gonna get a Blu-ray, right? I'm not gonna.
Right, exactly. So the question that I have is: are these compatible with HDMI cables, or do you need a new special super HDMI cable?
Ultra HDMI.
Yeah, HDMI.
I don't know.
UHDMI.
I do know that at one point in time, like, Sony was talking about, like, literally shipping with you, shipping a Dell computer with it, and if you, like, bought a 4K movie, they would literally, like, literally ship you a hard drive that you would put into the computer to contain all the content, and you'd play it through the computer, essentially. I am hoping that once it actually comes out to real customers, that they have a much more elegant solution. But I don't know, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all about maybe it's Thunderbolt. Thunder! Ooh, cut you down,
yeah.
Cut
you down. You know, yeah, it's, you know, it could be very well. Could be. So that was the big one that I thought was like just kind of, this one's definitely coming down the consumer pipeline.
Yes. Here's a side note for you. This one's for free. Plus a pro tip. Here's how I'll tie this in. This is all going to get trumped by that fruit company we all know and love. I was on the phone with an AT&T person today, and she was like, you know, rumor has it, Apple's coming out with holographic iPhones next. That's what's down the pipe. And I was like, oh, cool. She's like, yeah, it's going to be great. You'll actually be able to see the images on your phone, and it'll project a keyboard that you'll be able to type on. You know, we're doing all this 4K stuff. It's not going to matter because we're going to holographic. Which, if you had a choice, 4K or holographic television, which one would you go for?
Holographic.
See, exactly. It's going to trump them all. There it is.
But the thing is that it's just ridiculous.
She's
an
insider.
Not,
she works for AT&T.
AT&T, I know.
Nothing.
It means less than nothing. Our relative who works for Apple Inc. like is one of their, you know, she knows nothing and admits she knows nothing.
She works in the iPhone division and knows nothing, which she's a lying or that blows my mind.
It actually blows my mind. I've had enough conversations with her where I believe. Well, what's funny is when she like gets really excited because she knows something and so she wants to tell us, and we're like, we already read that in all the rumor mills. You're like just catching up now. What the heck?
I love it. Haptic touchscreen. That one last January. Amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like, okay, this is only slightly related. Can I mention this? There are so many. I wanted to bring this up because it's driving me crazy, and I want to put this out there. Like, this is my opinion on this. All of these Apple rumors are getting ridiculous, and the worst one right now is the idea that they're going to upgrade the iPad and iPad Mini in March. Because now
I really hope they do, because I want an iPad.
Well, it'd be great if they did, but they won't. Don't expect it. Don't think they will, because basically
can you go on the record for that?
I am 100% on the record. I completely guarantee there will be only one product up. Because it doesn't make any sense to be – they've never done six-month product cycles. And no company does six-month product cycles. The problem is that the Android – they've got a new Android coming out every month because there are 17 different companies that make Android phones.
The issue isn't necessarily can the company do it. It's just that – ticks customers off. You know, at least let me have a new device for a year and before you make it obsolete.
7 months is your absolute fastest turnaround for any company on a piece of hardware. Nobody does more than 7 months. And like 7 months is like the absolute shortest, and really most companies are in an 8 to 9 month product cycle.
I think people are just I think they'll do something in March. I think, and people are just guessing. But so anyways, by the way, this pro tip that I promised: if you call up AT&T and threaten to quit, this just kills me that this is normal for a company. Their standard process is to give you a discount on your plan. Like, we'll give you $10 or $20 off a month.
Of course.
You know, to keep you. I mean, they're just like, because I was talking to this lady again, who's like divulging all secrets to me. She's like, that's just standard. That's what we do. Anytime someone threatens to quit, we send them over to this one department, and they give them a discount, and hopefully that's enough to keep them. So I'm like, you have an entire department dedicated to that? Are you kidding me? Here's a better idea. Spend that money making a better service.
Right.
But anyways, if you're on AT&T and are a little upset about something and want to save some money, call and threaten to quit.
Right.
It works.